Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Listeners, I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwined, and he is outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance and newly appointed governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. Beautiful song, exciting. I love it too, I must say. It's a song that really helped me. I played in my morning glory program because it's a wonderful song, and a lot of people, I think, love it. But that is a song that I've kept you.
And just before you continue, let me just say this. The first time I heard that song, it's my daughter, my five-year-old daughter, who I heard singing the song.
Yes.
She came home from school, and apparently she learned it at school. And I was curious, and I listened to the words, and it was very interesting. And then I went and Googled the song, and then realized, you know, the words, the lyrics, who sang the song, and all of that, and how appropriate the words were. So I just wanted to let you know, little children teach us a lot of things.
Which is good. Now, for many, I think, and even for me, is understanding your journey. And there is a journey behind all of this, reaching to this point. Let's go back. Let's go back a bit. And let's go way back. You started originally from where?
Well, Tongue. Green Street. So I was born in Green Street, or on Green Street. Well, you know, that's where my first years were.
And you went to school where?
I went to school Hinesy, and I have to say Hinesy because if I say St. George's Anglican Junior and Senior School, a half a Grenada don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's true.
If I say Hinesy, everybody gets it. So yes. I went Hinesy. My mom, of course, taught me, and among many other teachers, my mom taught me there. For many, many years, and for those who know her, she retired in 2006, I believe it was, as principal of Hinesy, the senior school.
Okay.
So, but my mom taught me there in class four, grade four, yeah.
And from Hinesy, you went on to?
GBSS.
Now, what was GBSS like?
Well, GBSS is a university, it's a civilization. GBSS is extraordinary. GBSS is over 130 years old. This is a school with great tradition, and in every major city of the world, you could find a GBSS graduate, boy or girl. And let me be clear, because when I went to GBSS,
that was when? What year?
I went to 92.
92.
And when I joined in 1982. When I joined in 1982, during the revolution, they took in girls. So GBSS had girls at sixth form level for many years. So the people went to high school or convent or whatever, and then went over to GBSS for sixth form. But when I entered GBSS in 1982, in form one, we also had girls at that time. So I always felt I got the best of many things. Some people may or may not agree with that. But I mean, I had the co-ed experience in GBSS.
Right. Which is not a norm.
Which is not a norm, but which I think is...
helpful.
I believe in co-ed education, to be honest. Not knocking the guys who went before me, like my father and many others who went to GBSS when it was all boys. But I had the experience of going to GBSS with girls. So when I speak of GBSS, I have to speak of old boys and girls. And of course, GBSS was wonderful, and I learned so many things there. I was the head boy at GBSS. I was valedictorian. So there's a lot of fond memories, but also I think leadership. A lot of my early years in leadership, apart from my family background, would have been developed, nurtured at the GBSS. So I have a deep debt of gratitude to the GBSS for helping to shape me and making me who I am today.
What were your greatest challenge in your thing going through GBSS as you reflect over the years?
Well, perhaps just staying in faith. I don't know if it was a big challenge, but you know, I grew up in a Christian home, a Christian environment, and when you get into your teen years, you know, there you want to experiment a little bit, you want to try. I didn't stray far, to be honest, but there were challenges to you know, to authority and challenges to faith, because you know, you search, and sometimes I tell people, when you are a person of faith, sometimes you have to question your faith to go deeper in your faith. So I had that challenge maybe at GBSS, but honestly speaking, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I wouldn't trade GBSS for anything. But for me, it was more the fun of learning, the camaraderie, than any challenges. I mean, the schoolboy challenges of going to school and learning, I really don't see that as a major challenge. I did well in school. I enjoyed my classes, but I particularly enjoyed my classmates, you know. So GBSS for me is just a wonderful memory. As I said, it's GBSS is a civilization. I don't want to start on GBSS because I wouldn't be able to stop. And there's so many jokes to go along. And whenever you find GBSS boys and girls get together anywhere in any city in the world, these jokes flow.
Was Mr. Ashby?
Correct. So Mr. Ashby was my principal, and to him I owe a debt of gratitude. And if he's listening, I want to greet you, sir, and to say that I am trying to still follow instructions and to be a good GBSS boy. So Mr. Ashby had a big impact on me as principal, and there are many other teachers, some of who taught me. I don't want to get into too many names, but the current Attorney General, for example, Kajian Hood taught me.
Kajian Hood?
He did. Elizabeth Henry Greenwich, very recently retired or about to retire PS, taught me. It's very interesting because they taught me and then we became colleagues. But I've always maintained a lot of respect for these people. They were very good teachers, and I also, of course, they helped to shape me. So even though we work together professionally and, you know, we're on first name basis, that respect doesn't go away. I maintain that respect for them. So there's so many teachers, I wouldn't start to call too many other names because the list is long. But again, I want to tell all of you who helped shape me at the GBSS, Heinze GBSS. And of course, then I went on to National College, IFE, right. Institute mm-hmm. for Further Education, which became National College. While I was in fact involved in the transition from it moving from IFE to National College, I was the president of the student council at that point in time, and that was a challenge. That transition.
Why?
It was just a change of structure. We were moving. There were a number of administrative changes, and there were some administrative upheavals, and it was a tough time. We had shortages of teachers as well. I remember we had a semester for almost a whole semester. We didn't have an economics teacher. We had somebody come in part time, and you know, and so on, different things. But we made it. And, you know, when you go through these tough times in life or these challenges, they have to build character and build resilience. And you are going to need those things as you continue the journey. And that certainly has been my experience. So every time, whatever I went through in GBSS or in IFE, National College, and subsequently university and then work life, they've all been building blocks to my progress, to my journey, my professional journey.
Mm. So you finish IFE, that was 2 years, well, yeah. National College.
Yes.
And what happened thereafter?
My first job was at a commercial bank.
Which bank?
National Commercial Bank. For those
National
two,
Commercial Bank.
Yes, which NCB, bank right. I know, yes, the youngsters don't know what I'm talking about. Republic Bank. Used to be called NCB. And so my first job was as a teller at NCB. I did that for 1 year. And then I went off to university.
Where?
Barbados, University of the West Indies, Cave Hill Campus.
Mm. What was that like there?
Very, very good. I got a great, very good education. Very important for me. I garnered a network of colleagues across the Caribbean. So in professional life now, I know people and went to school with people all across the Caribbean. And any Caribbean island I go to, I'm sure to find a colleague who went to UWE, who I went to UWE with, who is probably in a very senior position somewhere now. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to relate and, you know, be in touch with people I went to school with. Very importantly, Barbados gave me my wife.
Mm, wow.
I did not go there for that. But you see, Pastor Simon, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added, right?
Yes.
Matthew 6:33. So I went for an education, and I'm very clear on that. And along the way, the Lord provided a wife. Of course, it was years later we got married, but I met my wife at church. And I always tell young people that, because there's value in going to church. You don't go to church to get ladies, but you never know what the Lord will provide. And when I went to church in Barbados, the very first Sunday, I actually met my wife. And again,
The very first Sunday,
she was ushering.
Uh-huh.
She escorted me. I could never forget. She had on a blue dress. Perhaps because blue is my favorite color, as I remember. No, it was not love at first sight, but indeed, you know.
She caught your eyes.
She was very gracious and very considerate. That's all I would say. There was no love at first sight. I was not interested in any personal relationship at that time. And we became friends over time. And, you know, I mean, we were not involved. We were not, when I was in Barbados, after I came back to Grenada, that our relationship started and then it evolved. And then we got married. So so Barbados, thank you. You helped me out there.
You have a lot of people to thank.
Well, I thank God, because God provided these. I didn't ask for these things, you see. But God knows what you have need of. So that was my experience there.
So just going back a little bit, what did you go to Barbados to study?
I did economics. I did a minor in management, but my core was economics.
Economics.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that there, you spent how many years there?
I spent 3 years there. I was very involved. We had a Grenada Student Council, Grenada Student Association. I was involved in that. And then I was also the president of the University and College Christian Fellowship at Cave Hill. So I was involved in student leadership, Christian student leadership. And again, met so many wonderful people across the region, across denominations. And I think from then I developed even then a willingness to work and partner with people across denominations, because that was my experience.
Working at a Christian council.
Correct.
So it was helpful to get involved.
Indeed. I recognize that notwithstanding the denominations, we had certain things in common and we could work together for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that.
So in finishing Cave Hill, what happened next?
Came back to Grenada. Throughout the summers, I worked at National Commercial Bank, NCB in those days, every summer, and I thank NCB for that opportunity. At that time, Michael Archibald was the managing director. And once I graduated, the Ministry of Finance offered me a job. And I started in the Ministry of Finance in 1993.
What position were you
in? I started in planning, which is a projects area. PSIP, Public Sector Investment Program. I worked there. I worked with people like Anthony Boson, who was then the Deputy Director General for Planning. I worked with Lennox Andrews, who was Senior Planning Officer. Helen Roden, who was Planning Officer, among other things. Mervyn Haynes came in subsequently. We all worked in planning together in those early years.
Mm. And you continue working in the ministry there, and you were moved. Will you move much?
No. I was in planning. I grew in that area, one of the things I got very early was a lot of exposure and a lot of responsibilities. Whatever the management saw in me, they gave me responsibilities. I remember taking on assignments that were more for senior people, but they were given to me. And I never complained. I did them to the best of my ability. I was committed. I didn't watch the clock. I put in the hours. And I remember them very early asking me to travel to represent Grenada at various meetings, very, very early, within weeks of joining the Ministry of Finance. And I remember Minister Boston, who was then, of course, in charge of planning, saying to me, "Don't worry about that. You go on and represent us," you know. And he showed confidence and faith, even at that stage. I was unknown. I mean, obviously, maybe the new family, but not me personally. And that's where it took off. So, yeah.
When did you become permanent secretary? At what point in your journey?
I was asked to act in 1999. So this is after I had come back from London doing a master's. I was asked to act in 1999, yeah. And it was crazy, you know. It was Carnival, just after Carnival, August 99. I had just come back from a youth camp where I was involved. I had run youth camps for my church for many years. And back at my desk, tired, but, you know, exhausted but exhilarated. There's something about working with young people and investing in young people and pouring into young people. So I had enjoyed it thoroughly, but I was exhausted. And I get this call from the then cabinet secretary, Meryl Forsyth, who said to me, "Timmy, you're in charge. Take charge. You'll get a letter from the Public Service Commission." That was it.
Just like that?
Just like that. And a lot of people find that strange and still don't understand. And nobody called me and said to me, "Well, listen, we're watching you. We think you'll do this. We hold on, you know, for whatever." None of that. Neither the prime minister, the minister, anybody spoke with me prior and said to me, "We are going to ask you to do this." Basically, I was asked to do the job. I took a deep breath, collected myself, and walked up the stairs and took charge.
That's it.
That's how I started SPS.
And you've been there for how many years?
Well, all together it's 14 in two stints.
Yeah. Because you left the Ministry of Finance at one point.
Yeah, I left in 2005 to go to the World Bank.
What was life like there?
Oh, that was great. And that's a whole other chapter.
But that was in Washington?
That was in Washington, D.C.
Right. And yes. You spent how many years?
Spent 2 years there.
2 years there. Working in what department?
I worked as an advisor to the executive director for Canada, Ireland, and the Caribbean at the World Bank Group. So the executive directors sit on the board. They're full-time board members. And we advise board members. So I often sat in the board. So, you know, I would go into these meetings, and in the World Bank has at the time 184, 85 countries, and I'm sitting in the board. From time to time, I would actually do the meetings for the director. He would ask me to do certain meetings. Different advisors would cover different things. Or if he's in the chair, I would sit behind him as an advisor, and we wrote. So I did a lot of policy analytical work, various policy papers, projects, various things. Very interesting work. But also, it gave me an opportunity to really raise the profile of the Caribbean, to really have the office focus on the needs of the Caribbean. And as coming as somebody senior who understood those things, I was able to really advocate for the Caribbean in a very, I don't want to say aggressive way, but I was very passionate about it. And we were able to see certain things happen. And so today when I look back, whether it's the Caribbean Catastrophe Risk Insurance Facility, which I helped with when I was at the World Bank to get started. And in fact, after Hurricane Ivan, that's when it started. It started in 2007, but Hurricane Ivan in Grenada was the impetus to drive it. I was at the bank between 2005 and 2007, and I helped to raise money and to build awareness and to actually get, with others, of course. Mm-hmm. And then I worked on getting the IFC, the International Finance Corporation, to get more involved in the Caribbean. I mean, this was a struggle. A real struggle in the board with management, but we were relentless. And I worked with people like Marcel Massé, who was the executive director, and then Sammy Watson, who succeeded him. I worked with them very closely. And then like alternate executive directors like Ishmael Lightbourne and Gobin Ganga. And we were able to make a big push. So when I see some of these results years later, I'm gratified because I made a small contribution, but an important one at the World Bank. And I pushed for the region a lot. And of course, I got to know a lot of people within the bank and across the region during that time, many of whom are still very, very good colleagues, very good networks. And many of them were, of course, calling me and sending me texts and emails and so on after the announcement.
About it. So what caused you to come back? Because that's quite a good position to be in.
I said I would come back. I gave my word. My word is my bond. It means a lot to me. There are a lot of people who said to me, when you go, man, make at least a 10 years. And it was easy to do that. There were opportunities. But when I left, I said I would come back. I know a lot of people doubted that I would. And I did come back. You know, as you asked me that, I remember having lunch one day with a senior person from the World Bank while I was at the World Bank. And she asked me, she said, Tim, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? And I said to her, back in the Caribbean, helping to solve problems. And she looked at me and I sensed she was a little disappointed with my answer. I think she was hoping or looking for something a little more ambitious. Maybe I would call a title, a big job. That was not what I was thinking about. I was simply thinking, I need to go back home. So whatever I've learned, whatever contacts I've made, whatever experiences I've been able to draw, those I must put at the service of the region. And the truth is, I felt strongly about that. When the experience I got there, my best thing would be to go back and use it. So I that's the way I felt. Not everybody feels that way, and there are some colleagues, some of them very good professionals, who stayed in Washington, and there's a role for that. But my strong view was to come back. I said I would, and I did. And I must tell you, when I came back, 2008, the recession started not too long after that.
Yes.
And I would hear fellas, people would tell me, men and women, you're wrong. What you come back and do? You're the one who can take all the stress. What you come back here for? I tell you, don't come back now. That kind of thing. And, they said it, frankly, and so on, and I would... I would chuckle sometimes, and there were times in the tough days when I said, there are far easier ways to make a living. But this is home. Mm-hmm. This is the land of my birth. This is the region. I can't be more passionate about anywhere than here, and I don't regret it. It there were tough times and questions asked. You sure you really wanted to come back and do this? all this stress and strain. Especially in the height of the recession, the Great Recession, it was brutal. Those years were brutal.
That's 2008.
Yeah, it started really 2009 because it slowed down. The economy started slowing in 2008, but it really started to bite in 2009. Between 2009 and 2012, that was the height of the Great Recession. And it wasn't just Grenada. If you look throughout the region, most countries went through a very difficult time. So in all my years in the Ministry of Finance, those were the most difficult years. It was very difficult. I remember in 2009, our revenue forecast, I don't remember what the figure was. All I know is the shortfall was $80 million.
Wow.
How do you get something done with a hole of $80 million? You set out to do certain things. Your revenues fall short by $80 million. But your expenditure
remains the same.
A lot of it is, you can't, unless you send home people, you're stuck. So those were very, very difficult years. And they drew not just on professional know-how and so on, but they drew a lot on character and faith. There were days, some days, I really don't know how we pay anything. And I would get up, pray, and march into the Ministry of Finance, and with God's help, we'll pay a bill or two or whatever we could do. Keep the faith. Those were very, very difficult days. when you think about where we are now, where we're further along, and at least, the fiscal situation has improved, and we able to pay down unpaid claims. We made progress because I can tell you in that period, it was very, very difficult. I've seen a lot of action, and those were the most difficult years. But one of the things, in the Ministry of Finance, credit to my colleagues, we stuck together. Mm-hmm. We hung together. And I have a lot of love and admiration for a lot of my colleagues. Some of us have been in the trenches together. We faced a lot, mm-hmm. and we're still standing. I'll give God thanks for that.
Still standing. I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Entwined, and he now share with us about his journey. We'll take a word from our sponsors and we come back, because there I want to ask with him, and just a question I'll pop to him, and I'll tell him now so he could prepare his mind for it. What is like working in the Ministry of Finance with the politicians? He'll tell us just his own thoughts about working in the Ministry of Finance with the politicians. And then I want then to go back, and then we'll talk to him about when he assumed the positions and so forth. Just a question now of leading up to the new responsibility he have. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. I'm speaking to the outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Entwined, and the newly appointed governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. I want from my sponsors to come right back and continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Entwined. Lucky to be there. Grab the chance while you have the time before it's too late. Mr. Timothy Entwined, outgoing permanent secretary, Ministry of Finance, and now his new position, the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. I congratulate you, sir, on behalf of all of us throughout the length and breadth of this beautiful country, across the Caribbean and the world at large. It is a joy to have this opportunity to share this time with you. I continue my discussion here with him on a special presentation of Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Entwined, who is outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Join me tomorrow at the same time for the final part of this three-part interview with Mr. Timothy Entwined. You would learn about the new responsibility he would now carry, guiding the Eastern Caribbean into its future as the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, on a special presentation of Inside Finance.